You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio. Okay, we're back. Indo Expo. Man, it's pretty crazy that being in California, I've been saying, like, I've gone to a lot of shows, done a lot of different shows, been in different climates and atmospheres. And the Indo Expo, for it being so cold, I was amazed the amount of people who were excited about coming in here, and in the freezing fucking cold weather were lined around this building.
That was pretty crazy.
Really,
yeah.
Unbelievable. I got my boy Bob Ischino from Edibles, right?
Incredibles.
Yep. Incredible Edibles. And this
we
is
can't say that. I've already been sued for that one. No.
No, really?
We're just Incredibles.
Okay, yeah. Just Incredibles. Was it because of that movie? Is that what it was?
Or what you know what? About? It's funny. Somebody's on the trademarked on Incredible Edibles. It's like a Canadian company for 50, 60 years, and they've got a couple of arrangements with other people. Edible Arrangements uses it.
Okay.
So for some reason, our patent attorney tried to patent something that was already patented, because it's never been our name, and we've never wanted it to be our name.
Okay.
So they tried to patent it, and we got sued. And like, really? So, you know.
Damn. Now, for those listening in their cars and not sure, or have heard about the brand, let's talk about it. You've been trailblazing the edible market, I would say, more than anyone else that I know in the trade, and I do go to a ton of these shows. How many years you've been doing your thing now?
We are getting close to 9 years in the regulated cannabis space, which
9 years.
Makes us one of the first.
So let's flash back. And we were 9 years ago. What did you do prior to this?
I owned a packaging distribution company, so I sold packaging to all kinds of manufacturers all over the state. One of my customers was a bakery.
Okay.
And, the guy who was the purchasing and the manager at the time, we were always talking about other side jobs, right? Things
sure,
to do.
Sure.
And it all revolved around food, right? We're both Italian. We both love food. So all of these side businesses revolved around food, especially because he had the kitchen and we
sure,
liked food.
Sure.
Right about that time, it would have been 2009.
Okay.
My brother started, he had a cookie company, and he started infusing cookies for my grandmother.
Okay.
So she was at the end of her life.
And was she a smoker?
No. She was an Italian grandmother. East Coast Italian grandmother would smack you with a wooden spoon if you got too close and lipped off at her, right? But she was in pain.
Okay.
Couldn't sleep, had arthritis, didn't have an appetite. And my brother started infusing cookies, and it worked. I saw cannabis work as a medication, and that's when the light bulb went off for me. I was like, holy crap, it really is medicine.
Sure.
And I saw it in a different format, and it opened my eyes, and I went and I talked to Rick, right, and said, can we do infused edibles here?
Sure.
And he thought I was crazy, and he came by and he met my grandmother, and the light bulb went off for him also, right? And both of us had been cannabis consumers most of our adult lives, right?
Sure.
Weekend warriors. We weren't afraid of cannabis.
Yeah, sure.
But, and honestly, until that time, cannabis as medicine was just something the hippies said so they could smoke weed legally, right?
I got you.
I never paid attention to the movement. I never thought there was any merit to the movement.
And 9 years ago, there wasn't that kind of awareness.
No.
And the stigma was still pretty strong.
Yeah. The things I have seen in the last 9 years have convinced me that cannabis is one of the most therapeutic plants on the planet.
It's awesome.
And nobody can tell me anything different, right? I don't care what study you want to bring, anything, right? I don't care if you're a doctor. I don't care if you're I don't care anymore. I've seen so many success stories day in and day out that there is nothing you can do to convince me otherwise, right? And I've seen it. I've seen it work miracles. So many where they're not even miracles anymore. They're just so commonplace that someone just calls me and goes, oh my God, you know, my kid hasn't had a seizure in 2 days and that hasn't ever happened.
Amazing.
And it's just like, I know.
So your brother masters the cookie.
Yeah.
And then what happens? You say, I want to start an edible company, or like, how did it progress?
I went to go talk to Rick, and you know, at that time he said, we can do anything here in the kitchen cost plus 35%. So we started running the numbers, right? My brother was selling 100 cookies, right, a week.
Okay.
Right? And we're like, hey, you know what? If we come here, we make these cookies, and you know, we sell a couple hundred, it'll be a nice little side business.
Sure.
Right about that time, House Bill 1284 came through the Colorado legislature.
Okay.
And that was the first basic framework, I think, really in the country to follow to sell legal cannabis. You had to go get a license.
Sure.
You had to, you know, one of the stipulations was you had to have a standalone kitchen, right?
Okay.
So we couldn't use the kitchen that Rick was running, right?
Sure,
because of cross contamination. And we've seen that a few times, right?
Okay.
Over the years where people have made an uninfused product in their cannabis kitchen and have gotten people really high,
sure,
right? We've seen it. So
sure.
I understand now where the concern came from. So Rick and I went, well, let's apply for a license. So we applied for a cannabis license.
Then it was medical only.
It was medical only. It cost us $10,000. So we each put $5,000 in.
Okay.
We filled out the application that was incredibly intrusive.
Sure.
Right? We went down to the old dog track here. This is when the MED was at the old dog track. So for anybody listening, it was at that time. That's, and we walked in with a handful of other people and we filled in our application. We handed in our application, and like 30 days later, we had a license to manufacture legal cannabis in the state of Colorado.
Unbelievable.
It was like, holy shit. Yeah, it was. It's funny now I look back and it's that to me is pretty fucking historic, right? That we were one of the first companies in the country, probably in the world, to have a license to manufacture a cannabis product and sell it in the state of Colorado.
That's amazing.
Like, yeah.
Now, was it just cookies, or did you move on to other products? Like, what was the during that time, and how long was this park for until you kind of transformed?
In 2010, we got the license, and because of who Rick and I are, right, we wanted to follow the rules.
Sure.
We were always compliance. Even before it was called compliance, right, was always important to us. So we didn't start manufacturing for almost a year because we didn't have a CO'd kitchen. We had to, you know, so while other people continued to make edibles in their kitchen at home this transition was happening, we stayed off the market. We played around a little bit with some recipes for baked goods because that's what they did, right?
Sure.
Our, you know, Josh was a classically trained pastry chef. So
nice.
We had brownies, we had cookies, we had apricot bars and carrot cake. And to this day, people say that those were the best infused baked goods they've ever had.
With the way things are now, those things are harder to do because of shelf life and things, right?
We realized that the first month we were in business. I sold one order of an infused baked good. And right about that time, Adam Dunn and Derek Cummings, came into our kitchen.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They came into our kitchen and went, you know, said they had some recipes for, you know, Derek showed us a closed loop system, said, you got to get a closed loop system. We had no idea what he was talking about, right?
Uh-huh.
Bought a little system and it bankrupted the company for $4,000.
Right? That's
funny. We bought our first closed loop system, you know, a couple months after we were in operation. And then we looked at things that had a longer shelf life because
we realized
in the first month, when these things go bad, we're not throwing away a brownie. We're throwing away THC.
And money,
right? And
people don't like a hard brownie.
Correct. And, you know, with a normal brownie, the bakeries build that waste into their system, knowing they're going to throw a certain amount away, and they can price that accordingly. But we didn't want to throw THC away. You couldn't get it.
Yeah.
So you can't, in our minds, like, we cannot throw THC away.
And back then it wasn't nearly as accessible.
Correct.
It is today.
Correct. So, you know, Derek showed us some chocolate bar recipes, showed us a closed loop extraction system. We started testing the oil, testing the products, because, you know, 9 years ago, if you were around, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What were the strength profiles 9 years ago? Remember what they were?
Oh, they're maybe 16.
No, in 12,
I don't know about Colorado.
In Colorado, it was 1x, 2x, 3x strength.
Oh, you mean
what
system?
The
oh,
fuck
yeah.
does that
oh,
mean,
no, yeah,
right?
Non-mil- yeah, 1x, 2x.
1x, 2x, 3x,
yeah.
right?
5x.
It was, we're like, what does that mean? And people are like, I have no idea. Like, this one gets me really high. It's like, okay, are you, right?
There's no true gauge.
And we're asking people, are you testing? Testing? No, testing's expensive. Like, well, how do you know what you're putting in your product as an ingredient if you're not testing it? So, you know, with Rick's background, his background was perfecting a recipe and duplicating that recipe 20,000 times a day. So that's how we kind of came into the industry. People were so afraid of edibles because of the inconsistency, because you would have one week and you'd be fine. You'd have the same edible from the same guy the following week and you were over-medicated.
Yeah, and you felt like you'd go to the hospital.
Yeah. So we started the whole company on the premise that we were going to test the oil.
Sure.
We were going to consistently dose the chocolate bars.
Sure.
And we were going to make them consistent, and we were going to titrate them, so you knew at the time, if you took a square of this 100 milligram chocolate bar, there was 8.1 milligrams of THC in it.
And you were doing that you're saying 8-9 years ago.
9 years ago, that's when, we really started manufacturing,
And at that time, very, very, very few.
No one.
It was well in Colorado for sure.
Yeah, no one in Colorado.
You got pioneers in different states.
California
for sure.
California was
been
a different
20 years.
You are correct.
So they have a little bit more of a different thing. But Colorado, you were for sure pioneering.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely.
Yeah.
Who would ever even thought that this was one of the first ones of the group to really go wreck, right?
Yeah.
You kind of fell through a good place and being in a good spot.
It has been crazy.
And how many years were you, let's say, in one position and then started really growing and expanding products and really kind of taking it from the next level? Like, when did it jump to level two, let's say?
In 2011 is when we started manufacturing chocolate bars, right?
Yeah.
And for the first...
What's the first one you came out with?
We had four flavors. We had the Mile High Mint.
Okay.
We had the strawberry, strawberry cough crunch is what it was called at the time. We had the monkey bar.
Oh,
right.
The monkey bar has got
bananas and walnuts and coconut in it. And then we had the Boulder bar, which is chocolate and toffee. And the Boulder bar is still one of the highest moving chocolate bars here.
So you're actually still doing some of those old school flavors today.
Oh yeah, they're still our best selling flavors.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. They're
still some of our best sellers.
Hell yeah! Shout out to some good products that are reaching almost a decade.
Yeah, almost a decade. So it took about 6 to 9 months for people to really understand what we were doing. We would get calls all the time, you know, saying your stuff's too strong. Like, what do you mean it's too strong? Well, I can eat 250 milligrams in this muffin, but if I eat 100 milligrams of your chocolate bar, I can't move. And we're like, okay, stop, right? I don't know what those people are doing saying their muffin's 250 milligrams.
Sure.
What I can tell you is we've tested. We're putting activated milligrams of THC on the label. So when we tell you you're getting 100 milligrams, it's 100 milligrams of activated THC, which will give you the psychoactive effect, right? So it took people a while to go, okay, if I eat this square of this chocolate, this is what it's going to do to me every time. And once people realized that, and once people caught on, within the first year, by the end of the the beginning of the following year, we were selling more per month than we had sold all the previous year.
Sure.
So it took off. And Rick and I had other jobs, right? We were...
Okay.
This was a side business
so
for us.
This
we
isn't had, like all consuming. You haven't even gotten to that level yet.
Yeah. And Rick was the first one to be able to come over, right? So Rick was able to leave his job and come over and be at the kitchen full time. And it still took me probably 2.5 more years before
you transitioned
I could
over.
Yeah, because you know I owned this other company, and the other company was the, you know, a very successful packaging company here in the state, and it was a hard move. But at one point I looked and went, this company, the cannabis company, was growing 200% a year, right?
Yeah, that
is what we're on trend
to. That gives you a great advantage.
Yeah.
Being in packaging.
Correct.
Because you get to see so many different types of designs, mm-hmm. elements, ways to do things.
Yeah.
So that also gives you somewhat of a leg up when you started packaging your products, right?
I thought it was going to, but then with the child resistant, the CRP,
sure.
When those rules and regulations came into place, who would have ever thought you needed to have a child resistant chocolate bar container?
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So for years we've been limited. We're still limited as to what we can use to package some of our products, like
okay.
the chocolate bar. It's been
sure.
very difficult. I have, at two different times, we have tried to invent and get through the approval process our own child-resistant packaging.
Sure.
The first one failed.
Okay.
Cost us $80,000.
Damn.
And it didn't pass the testing. So
damn.
We came up with an option.
Because you want people to see the graphics and the thing, right? You don't want to put yeah. it in something where it's like hard for people to see what it is, right?
Correct. Correct. So, you know, people were breaking chocolate bars and shoving them into pill bottles.
Oh,
right?
Wow. Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to do that, right? So
yeah.
we came up with, our first invention was like a child-resistant chip clip. You know?
Okay.
So we got very far down there, and you know, the testing process is flawed in my mind.
Sure. Sure.
There are certain things that, you know, depending on what company you're going with, but
okay.
you know, the testing company is children can't be able to open it, right? Or like six out of 100 you fail. But then adults have to be able, like older people have to be able to open it, right? So, yeah.
So, are you telling me you've had situations where, like, the kids, you were good, but the old people,
uh-huh.
they couldn't fucking
yep.
figure out how to fucking open it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
damn.
Yep. So.
And they randomly pick 100 people or whatever yep. for a survey, and they bring them into a room and do it? Is
yeah.
that
wow. Yeah. These testing facilities have people who come in, and that's their job, right?
Wow.
These kids try to open these things, and these, you know, retired people come in and try to open them. And then you have to close it properly. If you don't close it properly, you fail also. So it has to be kind of self-explanatory.
Man.
And then we came out with another version like 2 years ago that was made out of hemp plastic. It was great. And it passed, but it just ended up being too expensive when it was all said
sure.
and done. And, you know,
that makes a big difference. People don't
yeah.
realize even a dollar, right?
A dollar is huge.
When you're mass producing, could I say hundreds of thousands of bars a year or more?
We sold over 1 million products last year. We're typically doing over 100,000 a month.
Yeah, so if you had 1 million products and it buck,
mm-hmm.
that's a fucking $1 million.
When child-resistant packaging became a thing here in Colorado, 2014 or whatever it came out,
uh-huh.
the packaging was the most expensive part of my product.
More than the chocolate and the
yep.
THC and everything.
And it increased my cost $1 million that year to package our
wow.
product. $1 million of profit
wow.
disappeared
wow.
and went into packaging.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's everybody got fucked up.
Everybody
like that,
got hurt, yeah.
And were you able to come up with something successful at that point that was able to bring the price down a little bit, or what?
We went with a company that's been around for a couple of years, right?
Okay.
A company that I'd been looking at, and they'd improved their packaging over the years. The first time I had seen it, I didn't think it was child resistant, right? So
sure.
I was concerned just about the child resistant properties of this packaging. It did get better over the years, and that's where we are right now. If you look, we're in the, you know, the child resistant box, right?
Sure. Sure.
We've moved all of our gummy products to kind of a traditional pill bottle. It's a little bit different. It looks
okay.
Looks a little bit nicer, but it's got a child resistant top. Colorado.
Can you kind
change.
Of see through it, or is it more like the pharmacy look type thing?
Everything has to be completely opaque. It can't be like pharmacy where you can kind of see through it.
Oh, no, really?
Everything in Colorado changed to 100% opaque. They made us remove our freshness layers because we used to have child-resistant packaging where we would put our gummies into a plastic bag to keep them fresh, and then we would put it into the child-resistant packages.
Uh-huh.
Colorado last year removed that, said that that was a loophole and that we couldn't do that anymore.
Okay.
So
why is it a loophole to keep it fresh?
Because you can take that baggie out of your pocket and throw the child-resistant packaging away. So they want to make sure that you put the products back in
into
the child-resistant packaging. Yeah.
Wow.
So then we had to move to this pill bottle, and now we have an ultrasonic sealer. So now we've got a freshness seal, you know, kind of like if you go buy gummy vitamins in the store, right?
Yeah,
they've got that seal on top.
So the top thing.
We're getting into pharmaceutical arenas, right? Which is a problem because, A, we don't have any money. We don't have access to capital. We can't afford these pieces of equipment. We can only ship in-state, right? If I could ship gummies all over the country...
It'd be a different story.
It'd be a different story. I could afford $500,000 automated machine.
What about with the Farm Act and doing... I know you do CBD products, right?
We do.
What about now with the Farm Bill and stuff? What's your philosophy? Do you see a future of... You know, Incredibles being a national, at least, CBD brand?
We started a CBD-only line really about 8 months ago that's starting to take off here in the state because, once again, Colorado gave us a framework on how we can legally sell CBD in the state of Colorado.
Sure.
They have to approve the farms. They have to approve the processing.
Sure.
They have to see the test results.
Sure.
And we can ship in Colorado.
Okay.
If you look at the Farm Bill has not given anybody permission to ship over state lines, ship CBD products, and it hasn't given you permission to put CBD in products.
Okay.
So...
Unless it's FDA approved.
It's got to be FDA approved. There's only one product right now that is approved with the hemp.
GW
Pharmaceuticals. That is it.
And they're pretty much, in a way, a pharma.
Yeah.
They control Europe.
They approved one pharmaceutical cannabis-derived product to be legal. That's it. And so you could buy it at the pharmacy. That is the only thing they've done is allowed one company to legally sell cannabis and CBD. That's it.
Wow.
So, but I equate the Farm Bill to House Bill 1284 here in Colorado 10 years ago. So it's starting to come up with a framework. So soon, I think the FDA and the feds are going to put a framework together where people can start following the rules to ship CBD and hopefully CBD products over state lines. I don't think we're there yet. And, you know, for a year, I've been listening to CBD companies tell people it's legal, and I'm like, no, it's not. We had people knock on our doors ready to arrest us because they thought we shipped CBD over state lines.
Oh, no shit.
Because we were getting a piece of equipment manufactured, and we had to simulate cannabis oil, so we went and bought hemp oil from Whole Foods. We shipped the hemp oil from Whole Foods to this manufacturer. They made these products. They shipped them back. And people showed up at our door to arrest us a year ago, less than a year ago, because they thought we shipped CBD over state lines. So don't tell me it's legal, because I know it's not, because they came to try to take us away. Yeah.
But you didn't do anything wrong technically.
No, and that's what we showed them. We showed them the hemp oil from Whole Foods. I'm like, if you're arresting me, you got to go arrest Whole Foods.
That's great.
So, and, you know, they backed off, but they made it very clear what their stance was about shipping CBD over state lines, and it ain't legal.
Wow. And it sucks because you're so big.
Oh, yeah.
That was why they targeted you.
Yep.
There's a lot of motherfuckers selling CBD shit all over the fucking place.
All over the place.
Everywhere.
It terrifies me. And you know, unfortunately, a lot of people don't know what they're selling. They don't understand it, right? You know, I talked to a company a few months ago, right? And found out their products were making people high. Their products had THC in them.
Really?
And in their mind, it was totally legal. I'm like, it's not legal. Well, it was below 0.3. I'm like, it's below 0.3 on the plant. Once you extract it and you concentrate that, now you're at 2 to 3% THC in those products, and you're selling these products to people and telling them there's no THC and they're getting high.
Let's clarify this. It's not 3%.
No, it's 0.3% on the flower.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, on the flower. But when you actually make isolate or this or any of these things, right, it's like 0.03. Like, it's like...
No, it goes up. When you concentrate the THC from the plant into an oil,
okay,
it goes to illegal oil. It goes,
okay,
it goes now to 1% or 2% THC, right, in that concentration of oil. That's illegal.
Sure.
You know, so people would come into my facility and go, hey, I've got this hemp oil. I would test it, and the labs would go, I'm about to call the police on you because you just brought me illegal THC oil that's not in the closed loop system. There's no tags. This didn't come from cannabis plants, but this is cannabis oil. I'm like,
wow.
This was from hemp, and it's legal. It's a, you know, in Colorado, I've been fighting now for a couple of years to change the law because it's legal to grow it, right? It's legal to have it and put it in products, but once you concentrate it into an oil, it becomes illegal. So we need to change the verbiage around the definition of hemp oil, right?
Yeah.
To go up to that 2 or 3%, but in order to sell it past that, right, I put it into a THC product, so I'm okay.
Sure.
But if you sell CBD oil that has THC in it, not in the licensed system, it's illegal.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
So, but you can get the THC out of it.
What about the like 99.7% and up isolate stuff? How does that fall into? What does that fall into?
That's what we use because we guarantee that there is no THC in it. So for my CBD only products, we only use isolate.
Okay.
Because I don't want to take the chance. I don't want to take the risk.
Sure.
And I want people to know exactly what they're getting. If you want THC, I've got those products too.
That isolate has great curative properties.
Amazing. We're right now having the whole plant versus isolate debate, right? All over the country.
Sure.
If you're paying attention to CBD, you've got everybody saying whole plant is the best. I'm not saying that they're wrong, but I have seen so many success stories with our CBD isolate products.
Okay.
You can't tell me it doesn't work.
Yeah, so there's a difference between someone saying, oh, full spectrum, can, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, if it's illegal, but if you're talking about the best possible way people in the nation and possibly around the world have an opportunity to at least get some of the benefits.
Some relief, yes.
And some relief, it's possible.
Correct.
And it's also breaking a stigma.
Correct.
It's still part of a fucking cannabis plant.
Yes.
You feel me? So
yes.
I think in that way, it's really breaking the barriers. Just like a big shout out to one of my close buddies I love, dear to my heart, passed away, Jack Herrera. He was the one that said, you know what, let us try to let people understand what hemp is, and that, you know, cannabis was too strong of a thing to push onto people.
Sure.
But tried to show the benefits of hemp so people would start understanding that the plant isn't as evil as you think.
Not evil.
and that bridge truly made a big difference.
Yeah, I love seeing it now still. I'm always presented with opportunities to turn that light bulb on for people, right? To kind of break that stigma.
Sure.
And, you know, and I do it a lot now with, we make in the THC side of our business, low milligram microdose products, right? A 1 milligram THC product, 10 milligrams of CBD. At 1 milligram, you're not feeling the psychoactive effect.
But you're enjoying the taste of the product. Because people like a chocolate bar, and sometimes they want to fucking take it down.
Correct.
Let's be honest.
Yes.
Right?
People get in trouble because they want to eat too much.
They have one little square, and they're like, God, it tastes so good.
But
I want another.
But I can give people one of these products, right? A 1 milligram, 10 milligram product. And in 2 or 3 hours, aches and pains are gone, right? You know,
yeah.
My knee is hurt or I have a headache.
Sure.
I'm not high, but they're seeing and they're feeling the relief that they get from a cannabis-based product.
And I always like to give this as a little bit of an example. It's not that when you take CBD, when you feel that kind of rush or whatever it is that sometimes you feel in the body, that you're like, oh, I'm high, mm-hmm. as far as being fucked up. It's like when you take a shot of wheatgrass juice.
Correct.
You know, and you're depleted of vitamins,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden when you take it, you get this maybe energy, almost Red Bull kind of rush. It doesn't mean that it got you high.
Mm-hmm.
You just got a boost, essentially, right?
I tell people, I take it as a supplement, right?
Yes.
For me, it is a daily vitamin. And
absolutely.
What I tell people when we start talking CBD-only products, I'm like, write down all your aches and pains. Write down all these little things that you're having issues with right now, and 3 or 4 weeks from now, go back and revisit that list.
Absolutely.
Take these products every day for the next month, and then revisit that list and see if it had any effect on these. You're not going to feel it. You don't get the psychoactive effect. You're not, you know, some people it makes them a little bit tired.
Sure.
But you know, I take 100 to 200 milligrams of CBD a day.
For sure.
Right? And I take
absolutely.
It in the morning. It doesn't make me tired. I just move along, right? To me, it's a vitamin. It's a supplement.
And just for the non-diabetic people, do you guys make some sugar-free products?
We have sugar-free products. Most of our products are gluten-free. All of the things on our wellness line now, we've got tinctures. We've got 3 different ratios of tinctures. We've got bath salts. We've got suppositories. We've got a pain cream.
Probably people heard this on the air that don't know too much about cannabis or listening to all these crazy things that you did and just went, suppository. Let's explain that, though. There are a lot of people that have cancer in the butt.
Well, right? Anywhere, really.
Other areas.
Well, yeah.
I guess it's the most, how do you explain it? It's the most... powerful way of
because it's just you and me, right? It's just between us.
Yeah, right.
Nobody else is listening. Okay, here is what I will tell everybody. I was asked to make THC suppositories, right? I have people claiming it is saving their lives. It is saving their children. They are using it as a rescue medication for their kids with epilepsies when they're having seizures.
Wow.
Right? They are using it for so many different things. And on the other side, I have other people telling me that it doesn't work. The reason you're not getting the psychoactive feeling, because when you take a suppository, you don't get the psychoactive effect.
No, it's battling the disease
and
the body.
Yeah.
If you're a super healthy person and you take THC, you're going to be fucked up and you're high.
Correct.
But if you're someone that's debilitating and your body is aching, that THC is actually going to battle that, and you're going to probably feel less high because it's working on those things.
Correct.
Right?
But if you're a relatively healthy person and you get cancer, right? Well, kind of the normal mantra in the industry is you need 1,000 milligrams of THC and 1,000 milligrams of CBD a day for 90 days. Cross your fingers and hope a miracle works, right?
I've heard that. That's technically Rick Simpson.
Yeah, that's what everybody tells everybody.
But that's almost excessive. You don't even need that, right?
I don't know. But, everybody just, I just say throw a bunch of stuff at it. If it's going to save your life,
absolutely.
What do you have to lose?
How can it hurt? Especially when some people are at Terminal 4.
Correct.
And the doctors say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There is nothing else we can fucking do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're desperate.
And you can't, I mean, as far as psychoactive and taking edibles, yes, you know, you could take too much, but you can't die from it.
Correct.
You'd have to consume such a incredible amount of stuff that I don't even think it's possible, right?
But no, it hasn't happened yet, but you'll be very uncomfortable. So what I tell people is, look, start taking 1,000 milligrams in the suppository form.
Sure.
Right? So I give them a high milligram CBD only tincture with an isolate,
and I
give them 1,000 milligrams a day of a THC suppository, and The last patient I've been working with had a prostate tumor that was at 5 centimeters. Within 3 months, that centimeter was cut, or that tumor was cut in half.
Wow.
So it's half the size.
Wow.
Their blood work went from a 406 PSA level, the normal's 4. Within 3 months, his PSA level was at 1.9.
Wow.
His PSA level right now is 0.3.
Wow.
Right? His blood work is so good, the doctors say he doesn't even have cancer anymore. He can't get them to give him another body scan to see if the tumor's gone because his blood work's so good, they don't even want to give him another body scan.
Wow.
So he's down in Mexico right now getting a full body scan to see if the tumors are still shrinking. And it's been about 7 months now. So I'm interested to see what comes back. But that was a suppository and a high milligram CBD isolate tincture.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I'm watching it work, right, with, isolate doesn't work. Really?
Sure.
And
sure.
suppositories don't work.
Sure.
Really? Because watching it work.
Yeah.
I can't tell you why. I'm not a doctor, but I'm seeing the results. And I would love more testing. I would love it to be federally legal. I would love to do the research to find out what the uptake is. I want to use myself as a guinea pig for the suppositories. I can't find a doctor to do the blood work that will do my blood work four times in a day to tell me if the THC is entering into my bloodstream.
Wow.
I can't find anybody to help me.
Wow.
But the people who are using it and saying it's saving their lives, I can't take that away from them.
Sure.
Right? And I don't know if it's placebo. I don't think so.
Sure.
A kid who's seizing doesn't care about a placebo, right?
Yeah,
if they use this suppository and it works, don't tell me
for
it's not
sure.
working, because it is working.
Yeah. And I appreciate all you've done in this industry.
Thank you.
All the people you've helped. All those tourists who want to come to Colorado and try your fucking unbelievable lines of products.
Yeah.
Is there at least a website or something they can view current items?
Yep.
And is there a list of dispensaries, or you guys don't go that far into it, do you?
Oh, no. My website's great, right? If you go to iloveincredibles.com, it's got all of our products listed there, and then it's got a dispensary store locator for all the states. We're in Colorado, we're in Nevada, we're in Oregon, we're in Illinois, we're starting manufacturing in Puerto Rico next week. We'll be back in California hopefully within the next 6 months.
Hell
the
yeah.
deal in Arizona is done. Massachusetts starts next week. Let's see. We got Canada, I've got Arkansas, I've got Missouri, I've got Maryland, Rhode Island, Greece, and Colombia on the line right now.
Wow.
We're expanding very rapidly.
Wow.
Yeah.
To all my international and my family that I have in Greece, shout out to all you out there who are going to maybe be able to try some fucking Incredibles. Hell yes. Thank you, Bob, so much.
You're welcome.
For everything you do. And
thank you.
Let's take a break and sample some of those delicious edibles for sure.
Perfect.
All right, let's get out of here.
All
Bye.
Right.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.